Welcome to Mustard Mayonnaise. I'm Matt.
And I am Richard.
We talk about things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest, much like a bright, shiny quarter on the ground. Movies, DVDs, TV, video games, random stuff.
Exactly.
We're on a Tuesday evening.
Yep, because Richard went to Canada.
You like the pot, and you need to go see your British Columbia dealer.
Hopefully my mom isn't listening, but that may have, in fact, transpired.
Good Lord. You're always the one admitting to things. It's amazing what people admit to on a publicly accessible podcast, blog, whatever. Oh, yeah, I was on BitTorrent the other night. I stole 3 movies, 5 songs.
Well,
I live at...
I don't know who come after me. Anyway, it was a fun weekend.
Apparently. So I say that to mention I'm a little tired because I worked all day and just one of those days. All right. So I don't have a... am I boring you already that you're pulling books off of your shelf?
No, I just look and I'm going, I have a book called Puffin' Stuff and Other Stuff. It's a history of Sid and Marty Krofft. I had no idea I had it. And I'm going, holy crap, this looks like a great book. I don't know. I had no idea I had it.
I've been with you in bookstores where you've gone by the magazine rack and picked out maybe 7 magazines just kind of as impulse buys. Or not all, you know, stuff you would get normally, but just don't want to subscribe to. I've seen you do that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. You would go to the actual book section of a bookstore and randomly pluck things that looked interesting.
Absolutely.
And then completely forget about them.
Absolutely. Anyway,
so
big digression.
So we'll have to vamp for the second half. I have kind of a small list.
Cool.
The majority of the list sent in via email.
All right.
How about that?
Sweet.
So in no particular order, as is our custom.
Absolutely.
They're making a Spaceballs animated series.
Holy crap. Really?
Yes.
What was your thinking of that? What did you like? Did you like that movie?
I did when I was younger.
Here's what I thought. When it came out, I mean, I kind of liked it too, but what was weird about that movie was, first of all, even when it came out, it was like, wow, a Star Wars spoof. It felt like 5 years too old, even at the time. And the other thing that was weird about the movie, it was as a classic Mel Brooks kind of movie where it's got some funny jokes, but he's like an old comedian. He actually waits for the punchline. And there's some jokes in there that aren't funny. And then the camera just lingers on some people that are making a joke. And it's like, and you're looking at like the audience member next to you going, what, why isn't he cut yet? It's just not that funny. So anyway,
I've been kind of trying to remember back and forth. I haven't seen it in years, but when I was younger, it was one of those movies I saw over and over with my friends.
On cable, probably, or on VHS.
I think we had a VHS floating around. And there's a couple of jokes that have kept themselves in my head for that long, such as, you know, anytime like a password or whatever is 1234 or 12345, you know, I'll say, that's the combination of my luggage. And no one gets it. And I will have said something completely random and stupid. Never mind.
Isn't that like Rick Moranis or somebody? Or?
Oh, that's, no, it was the current, the lieutenant to Darth Helmet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going back and forth. Anyway, I don't need to recount the scene. Or they've gone plaid. I mean, there's a couple of jokes that have, in my head, have lasted since then.
So is this going to be like a children's cartoon thing like the new Ghostbusters? Or is this going to be like an actual adult thing?
I think it's more aimed at adults because it's going to be on G4.
Wow, really? Because G4 is gearing itself to be the hard-edged Spike TV network.
But apparently it's going to, you know, they'll parody whatever movies they want.
Well, that's cool.
It'll be interesting, but it won't be something I seek out.
You know, I've heard a lot about G4, and I've seen the videos and downloads on the podcast from. I actually don't even know if it's on my cable system because I don't think I've ever seen the channel.
I never have either.
It's apparently a big channel, but I have not. Lately, I was flipping through the channels, and there's this Versus channel, and that's the one that bought the rights to the Survivor series. So you turn it on, and it's Survivor and a whole bunch of hunting shows. It's like it wasn't Outdoor Life Network kind of cornering that horrible market. It's painful channels, but You know, anyway, I have no idea if G4 is on my cable system.
If you're into Ted Nugent, that's probably where you're going to see Ted Nugent.
I'm into the music of Ted Nugent.
The Nuge.
Yeah, I think he has like a show on that channel.
Probably.
A bow hunting show. Because they're more horrible. I mean, it's one thing to see hunting, but bow hunting. Ugh. Anyway, I digress.
I think that's a little better than shooting him with a gun.
Well, but see, bow hunting is, it doesn't kill them right away.
Oh,
so
okay,
they have to go and linger and then die.
Give them a sharp stick. That's fair.
Well, they had a thing on the Daily Show Cup. Did you see it when they had the dude? And he had the safe and sane bow hunting thing. And I thought it was kind of cool. They spoofed
him.
But they had a much funnier, the pro hunting people were even worse. But yeah, it was funny. I thought that's not a bad idea.
Anyway. So I'm not going to seek out the show. It doesn't really sound like it's even that connected to the movie. It sounds like it's going to be whatever they want it to be.
Wow, what a weird brand to latch onto if you're not even going to connect to the movie.
It's like
a 20-year-old movie that nobody barely remembers.
Yeah, it's fairly random.
It did have Daphne Zuniga in it, who was hot in her time.
Okay. Next on the list, which I was going to talk about anyway, they have cast Iron Man.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen this yet?
No. I think I've been seeing little snippets here and there, but no. Who would Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.? I don't know that much about this character.
I think that's everybody's reaction.
Tell me about the character, because
Tony
I don't...
Tony Stark, basically millionaire playboy. Well, yeah. Not quite playboy, but who owns this gigantic company, I don't know, Stark International, that's sort of like a web... They do everything.
Yeah.
And sort of... And the reasoning for him wearing the armor sort of has bounced around a little bit. Originally, I think he was actually a POW and he had some heart damage as a result of war injuries. And he created this iron suit to actually help him function and to sort of like a mobile iron. Not
this,
quite a mobile iron.
This is something he puts on. He doesn't wear it all the time.
Yes.
Okay, so he puts it on. So is it going to be like a CGI thing?
I don't know.
Because if it does, then Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of things going on. Very rarely have I read the Iron Man comics, so yep. I don't know the complete...
I've listened to Ozzy song many times. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confusing out the different Iron Man. Go ahead. Wow. Matt's giving me a dirty look.
Whatever. I think... Whatever. I should have asked John, who he knows all things Iron Man.
Really? Is that his favorite character?
I think so, but he's...
I discovered this weekend the She-Hulk. Was that what she's called? The She-Hulk?
There is a character called She-Hulk.
Yeah, I was looking at this thing of all these different top 50 comic book covers all time, and I go, wow, She-Hulk is smoking hot. Well, the modern incarnation of She-Hulk.
Most of the She-Hulks.
The earlier ones were kind of creepy, but these ones here, I mean, it was like, I don't know, they got some unbelievably talented artist. And anyway.
Most of the comic book artists can draw smoking hot chicks. That's part of the qualification. Okay, so anyway, and so sort of the relationship between Tony Stark and the armor, the suit of the Iron Man armor, has changed over the years. And, you know, sometimes it's basically sentient. There was a storyline where he was basically trapped inside it, and it was basically its own doing its own thing with him trapped inside.
It's like the Spider-Man deal, the Venom.
The suit was, that was an alien symbiote.
Oh, okay.
This was rogue AI or something. I don't even know why it was doing that. And so that sort of bounced around a lot. And he doesn't need to wear the armor for medical purposes anymore, from what I know. Anyway. So my reaction is, I hate to prejudge these things. I hate to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they're actors, let them act. And yet that's a hard one to get over.
Well, to me, the bigger issue is who's directing it and
Jon Favreau.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. Jon Favreau is a terrible director.
I heard him on...
He's a cool dude.
He was on The Business a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about special effects, mostly in the context of Zathura.
Yeah.
And saying he wants do as many of the effects in camera practical as possible and do as high as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because it looks better, it costs less, it's easier to direct.
Yeah.
And it was, I felt it was a really good interview.
He's a cool dude. And that show he does, the little, what is it, Table for Five or whatever?
Dinner for Five.
It's great. And he is a cool guy. I mean, he's legitimately, I think he's cool. But man, that Elf was a terrible movie.
I never saw Elf. I haven't gotten around to it.
I can sort of see why it was somewhat popular. It was entirely because of the goofy Will Ferrell, but it was a very, very lazy made movie. It was messy. It was a piece of crap. And I honestly don't understand why they, Zathura, from everything I've heard about it, was a piece of crap too.
I haven't heard that.
Nothing from at least Elf would tell me he even remotely is the kind of person to give a comic book movie to.
Who knows? Yeah. You know, again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I refuse to. I never give people the benefit of the doubt.
Because to me, I haven't seen Zathura. I mean, I don't think it was a successful family film. It didn't blow anybody's, didn't do tremendous business.
Maybe I'm just being mean.
I think it did okay, and I think it met expectations.
I don't know. Maybe it was because Ari's telling me and our buddy Fred and all these others, Elf is so funny. And then I saw Elf and I just found myself getting madder and madder watching this movie because it wasn't funny. It was stupid. And there was parts that could have been funny that they just screwed them up. They just stepped all over itself.
But, sometimes there are also circumstances behind the scenes that you're never aware of where the producers say, well, the reason that movie stunk up the joint was because of X and Y, which nobody else knows about. So we're going to hire him to do our movie anyway.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And that could be it. And again, I'm really extending the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. But
you're right.
I'm eager to see the movie because I think it's very interesting visually. And there's a lot of different stuff they can work with plot-wise because the main character also has been an alcoholic.
Hmm.
And so
which is really good for Robert Downey Jr. is it essentially going to be like a Fantastic Four kind of movie is it going to be like a Daredevil?
I doubt they're going for the ha-ha tone.
Yeah.
I doubt they're going for the Fantastic Four tone, but again,
what about the Punisher
tone? I haven't even seen Fantastic Four yet.
I kind of liked it, What about the Punisher kind of tone?
Even the Punisher, I didn't have a problem with the tone of the Punisher.
I
kind of
liked it. I thought it was funny, though, because there was a couple points when they went to this overtly comic tone, and it was out of place, but it really was funny, and it's kind of worked in that context. But John Travolta.
For a long time, Tom Cruise was supposed to be really interested in playing the character.
Really?
Iron Man? Yeah, I haven't heard
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, very true.
Well, he's kind of like Steven Spielberg, where you don't want him to get involved, interested in your project, because your project will spend 5 years never getting developed, but everybody's waiting on him, and then they decide not to do it. That's my understanding. Because when Steven Spielberg, he gets interested in a project, if he doesn't jump on it, he holds on to it and sits there and keeps working on it for years, and you have like a 20% chance of it getting made, or he just immediately jumps into it. Literally, like Munich, he literally just jumped into it immediately and got the thing made, whereas other ones just forever, and then people have, take forever trying to get the project away from them. And then you're sitting there trying to convince others, I'm trying to get this project away from Steven Spielberg. How does that sound to them? But if he's not going to make the movie, he's not going to make the movie. Anyway, and then you're trying to convince people, Steven Spielberg couldn't make it, but I can make it. I mean, how does that come across to a financier or somebody else? So anyway.
Next up on the list, and I don't know much about this story. I just kind of read it briefly. Apparently, Netflix has this service now where you can punch in a zip code and see what people from that zip code are basically renting through Netflix. But there's some weird caveat. It's not what everybody's renting. It's like whatever's really popular in that area, whatever's spiking the chart, I think is how it works. So you can punch in your neighborhood and see what people in your neighborhood are watching.
I sure hope they've thought that really through, because if it's so localized and there's not that many members, you can pretty easily determine exactly what an individual is renting.
Probably.
It's similar to when AOL decided to be nice and release all that search data. And then New York Times and others quickly found all like this little woman and all the things that she had searched.
But by looking at what people had searched, we're able to suss out who had done the searching.
Exactly. Yes. And do I want people to know that I've rented, the documentary about Debbie Does Dallas 3 times or whatever? I mean,
why would you rent that?
I do own it. It legitimately is a BBC documentary.
I'm fine with that.
They go on search for the. They
I'm flashing
for the,
back to that Bill Hicks comedy bit.
I don't remember.
With the clerk. Right. Never mind. His basically all of his porno rentals are dragged before the Supreme Court Confirmation Committee. Manny, how could you? I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, just so everybody's clear, it's an actual BBC documentary.
Whatever. But it does bring up some privacy concerns. It's one of those things that's somewhat interesting and that I doubt anyone would ever use.
So they're doing you can get an idea for what's popular, I guess, or.
But it seems like there's always some weird new tool or some cool new thing you can do, yeah. And you hear about it for 5 minutes and then no one ever uses it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me, but I'll look at it and go, oh, that's cool. But it doesn't enhance my life. It doesn't make anything easier for me. And so you never, ever use it again.
Hmm.
And to me, this is one of those things. It's cool, but eh.
Yeah. They're always trying to figure out something new. Although it's funny. You know, there's a million search engines and Google, and there's one actually pretty good one that is basically a complete also ran. It's owned by Amazon called A9, and it's where they incorporate a bunch of their stuff into it and Amazon. But they've decided to scale it back a little bit, and it's when they scale it back that they announce that they're pulling out these features. That I'm thinking, damn, I wish I had known that feature was there. One was cool. They went around to every major city with a camera truck, or the truck with cameras on it, and they just literally took a picture of every friggin' business in there. So when you search for it, it connects it up. So when you do, like, you want to get a map to it, it actually will show you a picture of the front of the building, which sounds kind of goofy, but it was kind of cool.
When they launched that, though, that was the big thing that got all the press. I don't know if that's what they were pushing, but that got a lot of press for, like, a couple of days. Yeah. And so I tried it, and I couldn't. And whatever I searched for in Seattle didn't come up.
Wasn't even set up yet.
And so, I don't know if it was just that street or if the servers were getting overwhelmed by everybody doing that. But I was like, eh. And then, you know, I completely forgot about it. Because it's rare that I do the kind of search that would be really helpful for me to look at the building. Although, that is tremendously, it's useful in a very targeted way.
Well, I guess from my perspective is I learned about it as they were killing it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, I was like, dang. I mean, but I like you, I probably would have used it once. You know, the biggest one right now that is similar like this, that's really thrown a lot of people is Zillow.com. Do you know, have you heard of Zillow? It's a Seattle company.
Yeah, I use that.
Okay. So Zillow it's the one where it tells you how much your home is worth based on other home sales. It's pretty cool. It's got a little map. It shows you what homes around you're worth.
And
relatively speaking,
I was going to say it does this without making you jump through a lot of hoops, because there are other websites that make you do that, but you got to put in all this information so that they can sell it to realtors. Yeah.
Here's the funny thing about it. You're exactly right. It's instantaneous. It's there's no hoops to jump through. And in fact, you can modify it. Like my house here, it said was worth, first of all, it said it was an extraordinary amount of money. I had no idea how much these houses had gone up, but then you can go in and modify to say, hey, no, I put it, because my house, I put a new roof on, I redid the entire house, so I could explain, because their information is accurate. And then what they were pointing out was taxing authorities are starting to look into Zillow. So if you want to save these improvements, suddenly the taxing authority is going to go, wait a second, your house is certainly worth a lot more because you claimed on Zillow you did all these improvements. So now Zillow's kind of like backtracking, not to try and hide this or not make it so easy for people to do that.
I mean, we're getting way off of entertainment, but because tax, or at least around here, housing taxation it's always under whatever you could probably actually sell it for.
Yeah. Well, in theory it is. In theory.
So if they start going off of Zillow
that's what the Seattle Times article is claiming, although I didn't know that they had had any proof that it would ever actually be done.
Well, it's one thing to say they're looking at additions you say you've made versus using Zillow as their basis for their taxation. Saying, okay, well, we had you down at 289, but Zillow has you at 300, so we're just going to go ahead and do that.
I think they meant in terms of...
that's two different things.
I think they're meaning in terms of a lot of your taxation is based on a figure for all the homes in the area, based on if you have 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms. Well, my house here used to be 1 bedroom, 3 bedroom, 1 bath. Now it's 2 bedroom, 2 bath, actually a more valuable home than 3 bedroom, 1 bath. So what they're saying is, oh... Richard needs to get taxed at the 2-bathroom rate. And that's what they're worried about, because if you've made an improvement that they're not as aware of in the taxing authority. But anyway, just yet another way of our privacy being eked away because of our desire for convenience. So what's on the list there, dude? We really jumped off. Or we're still talking about Iron Man.
I'm pretty much done.
Oh, okay.
But it's to say Iron Man is about the last reasonably well-rounded character that they have yet to do.
Really?
To make a movie out of. There's still, you know, Captain America, the Avengers, but then you get into much more comic booky.
I was going to say Captain America, which is one of the most famous of all time.
Name recognition is really high, I would imagine.
But how can you even either? I mean, I'm just picturing how he would come across in a movie, unless they did it overtly comic. And if they did, even Superman, they did a little bit of a more overtly comic to some extent. And I don't know. I just don't know if people are ready, but the costume, it's weird. And they're either going to have to fully change it or I don't know. Captain America is one of the weirdest costumes ever.
It's much harder to translate into the real world, quote unquote, than.
And he uses that shield, you know? Yeah. I want to see a Thor movie. That's what I would like to see.
Okay. Apparently, Martin Sheen signed a new deal. He's now making $350,000 an episode.
Wow. Jeez.
For 2.5 men.
For 2.5 men? Oh,
What'd you think?
I was sitting here thinking. No, I was still thinking.
Oh, Charlie Sheen. I said Martin Sheen.
No,
I apologize.
You had me totally confused. Well, $350,000, that's, you know, don't forget Ted Danson at the end of the Cheers run. This is 10 years ago, was making $1 million an episode. Mm-hmm. So,
You know, I don't begrudge the guy, but to me, it's one of those, I've never seen that show. I have no desire to see that show.
As they point out, it's the number one comedy on television.
It just makes me want to jam this pencil in my eye.
It's bizarre. There's a whole host of shows.
Well, freaking John Cryer was nominated for Best Actor.
They go on forever and ever. The other day I was at a video store and I was looking and they're having the complete second season of Coach. And I'm thinking, first of all, is there even a market for this? But that's one of those shows that just sits under the radar, sucks. Doesn't necessarily get any better. It was kind of funny. I don't know.
I watched Coach off and on, I guess, in the early years.
Yeah.
And I thought it was perfectly pleasant.
Maybe it is, but to me, when I think of 2.5 Men, I think of that, you know, the world according to Jim or whatever. I think these in the same boat. I don't know.
To me, Coach seems like it's on a higher level.
Really? Maybe it was.
And, you know, maybe that's just the rosy glow of 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, and the good old days of my sitcoms were. But, yeah, to me, 2.5 Men and according to Jim.
And I can't even think of any others. I know there's plenty out there, but I can't even think of any. But they all, I turn them on and it just, I have like a natural aversion. Just the whole 3-camera setup, the whole, just everything about them, I just have an aversion to. I can't even watch them really.
Not care. And for me, the biggest problem is always, you know, the jokes are telegraphed.
Yeah.
You can see the jokes coming a mile away and they're not that funny.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's the general purpose sitcom complaint for me.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. And these have all been emailed stories to us that we're discussing.
Sweet.
The last one is somebody for a computer magazine wrote an article, The 5 Reasons iPod Should Be Wary of Zune.
And what are those reasons?
I kind of jotted down abbreviated versions.
I can only imagine.
A consumer media storm.
What, meaning they're going to spend a bunch of money on?
No, I think that it's the perfect storm of consumers and media, and now is the perfect time to launch such a device.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, okay.
It's got this social viral thing going on.
Yeah, which isn't going to work worth crap the way they've got it set up.
More programming than iTunes.
What do they mean by that?
I guess better, bigger catalog. I don't know.
I haven't even heard about what they're describing as their catalog, but if they're talking about TV, I can't possibly imagine that being true.
It's got a bigger screen.
Does. It does.
Better screen for watching videos
on. I agree. Totally.
And it's cool.
Honest to God, that's the one thing this thing doesn't strike me as. It doesn't look that good.
Our fellow tech podcasters are saying that this thing actually you know, not as cool as an iPod, but yeah. certainly not a steaming pile of garbage either.
Well, if they would squeeze in the, if they would squeeze, well, first of all, you sent me, I think maybe I sent you their supposed price for it.
Well, it's $249 now.
Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, that is definitely the right price. That's a good deal. Well, that to me,
after Apple made them do it.
Well, they may have done it. But I'm telling you, because I could have easily seen Microsoft hemming and hawing doing this and then literally putting it out there for $450 or something. I could see them doing that if they didn't weren't completely forced into it. So $250 is, it sounds crazy, but it's almost in the realm of impulse purchase. You know, I'll go out and pick up a Zune thing. And so anyway, but looking at that, if they squeezed in mobile PC software so I could use it just like I do my Pocket PC, I would buy it. I would buy it in an instant, but just as it is, as like an iPod replacement, effectively to do some different things, I can't even contemplate doing that, especially considering all the stuff I do like with the iTunes.
Well, to me, I hear the whole social sharing the songs thing. I've heard the entire range of arguments. It's stupid and no one's going to do it versus it's cool and everyone's going to do it.
And what's this? You can share it and somebody has it for 3 days and then
Well, for free. And if they want it, they can buy it.
Oh, Jesus. I honestly, personally, maybe I'm wrong. There's been things where I've sitting here going, what is up with that? And then it's everything to me. I totally understand. But well, that, you know, to me, there's never been a situation where I've ever wanted to do that.
That's what they're talking about, this whole social viral thing where it's the whole MySpace generation.
Well, okay.
And, you know, everybody's...
That screams of marketing person trying to latch on one cool thing to describe their thing.
Could be. I've never even been on MySpace.
I haven't either. And I consider myself a pretty, for the most part, a bleeding edge person that cares about a lot of stuff. And I know how big and popular MySpace is, but I clearly am old because I'm not, well, I have no interest.
If I want a web page, I can build one myself.
Exactly.
You can build your web page yourself. Yeah. We don't need tools to do it for us.
Yeah.
And to me, the concept of, you know, who are my friends and links to them and here's every little thing about me in case you want to, I don't know, steal my identity.
Although I did, I think I sent you that one thing. I found it interesting. The dude who compiles the page of links to people who had my MySpace pages that are dead. And it was a creepy list because obviously by definition, most of these are going to be like suicides and murders, but there was a lot of accidents, others. And it was like hundreds of names of people that had a MySpace page and you could link to them, but they are dead.
Well, apparently there was an issue when Clerks 2 came out.
Yeah.
Cause now pretty much all movies have a MySpace page in addition to having a web page.
Yeah. Yep.
Whatever. But if you added the movie Clerk, if you added the Clerks 2 MySpace page as your friend,
yep.
You were added to the end credits.
Oh, really?
And so after the credits run,
yeah.
There's like a blank screen and then they start rolling the,
that's cool.
Here's all the MySpace people that added us as a friend. And apparently the issue was, I don't know if it was a guild or exactly, somebody was upset that they were included in the credits of the movie.
They had something like that with Lord of the Rings too.
It was all the fan club members were included in the DVD credits.
Yeah, but they wanted them somewhere else, but they could only put them in DVD because there was some issue or something.
And you know, on one hand, I recognize the technical distinction of, you know, this person worked on the movie, this person clicked a link on a web page, but it's not like they're mixing the two up. The credits are done rolling. There's nothing, and then it says very clearly, these people are MySpace users who added this Clerks 2. How, you know, God, just talk about things to get worked up about. That is so stupid. It's right up there with the not having two directors thing.
I know. Oh, my God.
So that Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez can't be a member of the Directors Guild and share directing credit. Completely retarded.
It's cool to watch movies from the 70s and a little bit the 60s because that was the time right up into the 60s, all credits were done at the beginning of the movie. So it literally the entirety of credits was done that way. Then they morphed into this. Let's just show some of the actors and then have short credits at the end. And then the beginning just literally was actors. And now it's this never ending parade of them. But you look at some of these movies in the 60s and 70s, you go, how refreshing to not have to list 50 million people or not have an issue with the movie whatsoever, except for legal reasons, you have to title a work.
Yeah, you told me that.
So Apocalypse Now is spray painted on something.
Well, you know, so anyway, I people are into MySpace, regardless of you and I sort of looking at it going, whatever. So there could be the same thing with the Zune. Maybe sharing songs is exactly what today's young person is lusting to do.
I honestly don't know why I have such an aversion to the Zune. Maybe it's because Microsoft has continually screwed up on these kinds of things, but you know what? They didn't screw up on the Xbox. So why should I assume? But my initial aversion is to say, prove it to me. So I'm being all blustery here, but if they prove it to me, if it's a good thing, I make this assumption they're going to screw up, and I don't know why I'm doing that. I'll tell you, looking at the product, it doesn't look all that cool to me. It looks kind of blocky and bulky, but you know, if I actually hold one on my hand, maybe I'll think differently.
Yeah. I agree.
Where will you have access to more inexpensive ones? Or is that one of those hardware issues where it's all same price?
No, Richard's referring. I have friends that work at Microsoft, so I can on occasion get into the Microsoft store and get stuff for cheap.
But nothing like
They announced that I have heard that actually they will be available in the Microsoft store, but they haven't.
They're pretty cheap as it is. It's not pricey thing.
Even at a discount, though, I don't know that I would really. I have an iPod.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know. I'm such a doof. I will just go buy stuff on a whim like that.
And the other thing is, everyone's expecting the widescreen video iPod.
Yeah.
Basically now, early 2007, maybe at Macworld in January, maybe not. But everyone knows it's coming. Yeah. And so the main knock against the iPod, whereas the Zune has the better video screen, that's going to last for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Granted, they'll have the holiday season to gain traction, but
which I'm surprised. I mean, maybe they're still having the problems with it. The near guy can understand it's because they were trying to build the quick click wheel into the screen. And I imagine
there's also some rumors about it being the next iPod having a touchless interface where it's some proximity thing where you don't even touch the screen. You just do the motion right above the screen.
Huh.
Now, I mean, granted, it's all rumors.
Yeah.
Who knows? But anyway, so you have to know that Apple's not stupid. If they could have gotten it out in time for holiday, they would have.
Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, those were the five reasons to be wary.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't think Apple's that scared.
People always say Microsoft has enough money, they can just do whatever they want, which to a large degree is true. But look at something like Web TV.
Yep.
They poured
money into that.
And they stopped.
Yep. They also are smart enough to not continue to beat a dead horse. So,
we'll see. I mean, I think they're going to be in this one for the long haul because they see a market that they want to be in that's going to be something.
That's true.
All right.
That's true. Like Web TV, they realize there's not a market. But if there's a market, they will want to be
into it. But it was a really weird one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I heard people say that their parents actually liked it.
That's right. Remember, at both our previous employers, we would periodically, get emails, and they'd be somebody at Web TV, and invariably it was like an older person or something who their kids set up, this is the easy way to get them on the internet, and they had Web TV accounts, and there was a market for that. But even that kind of disappeared after a certain point.
Yeah, it was weird and ill-defined, and a lot of people didn't understand it unless it was demonstrated for them, and they could say, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. All right, moving on. So now we're starting to see TV commercials for Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Sofia Coppola's vision of Versailles.
Yeah, and the whole end of the Louis the 16th Empire.
The trailer had the New Order song.
Yeah.
The commercials, the ones I've seen, are using a Cure song.
Yeah.
So the first thing I'm thinking of, oh my God, the music budget for this must be insane.
Yeah.
And then watching this, because it got booed
at Con.
The Con Film Festival. Yep. Got booed. Oh, that reminds me of something else I want to write here. Okay. And so I was interested in it, and then I wasn't, and I'm kind of going back and forth. But I will say, seeing the commercial, I completely respect her as a filmmaker, just in terms of she had this vision of what she wanted to do, and she did it.
Yeah, whether it works or not.
Exactly, and it could be a steaming pile of poo, but yeah. It's her steaming pile of poo.
Well, I feel bad because I liked both of her first two movies very much so. The Virgin Suicides and
Lost in
Translation. So I liked them very much. And both of those movies, they were sort of, to some extent, she got nominated for Academy Awards or anything, but you'd hear these things where they weren't giving her credit for them. They would say, oh, it's more of because of these performances, they're loose movies that worked well, and they weren't giving her credit. And to some extent, you can kind of see critics going down the pike saying, see, she doesn't know what she's doing because this movie sucks. And I don't know. I always think of every director as completely in control of the entire movie. And if it doesn't work, like you're saying, she tried. That said, I was pretty turned off by that first trailer. I exactly saw what she was trying to do, but I mean, what I think she's trying to do, but it just looked, I don't know, it just looked terrible to me. And nothing, or at least nothing inspired me to go, yeah, I want to go out and see that movie.
I should mention that it was 3 years ago yesterday that I went on my first date with my wife to see Lost in Translation at the Oak Tree Cinemas.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson's butt.
Oh, God. If you're going to open a film, open it with Scarlett Johansson wearing a pair of panties.
Pair of sheer panties.
Thank you.
With Esquire magazine, Sexiest Woman Alive, 2006. She was given that award lately. It's a hell of an award to get.
So... In the course of doing my job, I keep a chat room, a chat window open for a circle of friends, and a fair amount of links get posted in there. Check this out, check that out. I usually am not able to do videos because I need to, you know, concentrate on working. But somebody linked the latest Weird Al video last week. Have you seen this?
The one, download this song?
The nerdy white guy.
No, I haven't seen that. I knew he was doing a new song called Download This Song.
Oh, I haven't heard that. This was, okay. I guess it's, there's a rap song, something about dirty. I've never heard
there's
the rap
a, there's
song
There's a Christina Aguilera song called Dirty.
No, this was a rap song.
Okay.
But it's, I'm white and nerdy, I think was the song.
No.
And the video, and it was hysterical. You know, it's got all these, you know, I can speak in Java or Klingon. I can do that. And it's really well done. And it kind of got me thinking, I loved Weird Al when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Just loved it. Had all his tapes, all his cassettes.
Yep.
Listen to those tapes over and over. I could still probably sing along with most of his earlier songs.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Would you like to hear My Baloney?
I did.
Would you like to hear one of his Rolling Stones polka medleys?
I remember very distinctly, it was like around 81 when I... turned on Dr. Demento, and they had like the first Al song I'd ever heard. This was when Al was just like an underground guy, and I think it was My Baloney, or was that the one that was like the one to My Sharona?
Yeah, I think that was actually his first effort.
Exactly. So, and he put it on, and it was recorded clearly in his bathroom, and Dr. Demento used to play this, and I love listening to Dr. Demento, and it was like, boy, there's nothing like that anymore. There's no, on Howard Stern, they have this guy named Red Peters that plays songs like that. But other than that, there's nothing like that. And I mean, I used to love that stuff. I don't see why people are dismissive of joke songs and humorous stuff, because they're unbelievably entertaining.
Well, he's been at it for so long.
Yeah.
And he's
just
really
like for
good.
25 years.
He's really good. And but God love Weird Al.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been in The Simpsons, making fun of himself. You know, as soon as the check cleared, Homer, I was on the first plane out here to write a song. And actually, I ran into him at the San Diego Comic-Con the one year I went, 2001. Yep. And he was clearly just trying to be there as a
fanboy,
as a member of the public.
Yep.
And he was there with his girlfriend or wife, and somebody recognized him. So there was this pack following him with cameras and trying to take pictures, and he was trying to be nice, but he was clearly trying to get away.
Yeah.
So I felt that was really illustrated to me how hard it is to be kind of a minor celebrity, yeah, and how hard it can be to lead your life and not really, you know, I'm sure he's got money, but it's not like buckets and buckets and buckets of money.
Well, you know, you remember when it was like, God, the height of his fame, which is probably like 89 or something. And he had to eat it out and he had other stuff. Well, he did a tour and it was a pretty big tour, but
he's done a bunch of tours,
but this particular tour was pretty big because he went really involved in makeup and other stuff. And no matter how big he got, there was kind of a limited audience for him. So locally he might be able to play a 2000 seat hall, like what we would have at the Paramount in Seattle. And I remember thinking, man, boy, even if he sells out every night, I could hardly imagine him making money on this tour because of the incredible road crew and all the other stuff. It's not just Nirvana going out there with some guitars and some flannel shirts. He was spending a bunch every night on this whole set and the elaborate costumes and stuff. I remember thinking it must be tough to be Weird Al, because when he was young, he was just there with an accordion singing it on his own, and all of a sudden everything became about the video to him or to his fans. So he had to kind of mimic that.
You just look at that he finished the tour, because if a tour stops making money, they stop touring. They cut the date. They cut it short and they say, we're done.
Yeah.
Because usually that's where musical artists make money, is touring. They don't make squat from record sales.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great that he's still out there doing it. And if you
It's funny now that you're saying that. I mean, he's clearly a legitimate nerd because he posts this song on his MySpace page. He wants it freely downloaded, and the song is called Download This Song or something. So he's taking a big stand against DRM and the other stuff. And you know, to was it today or yesterday was the day without DRM. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, all these internet geeks are all post on their website that today's the day that you choose to not buy things with DRM, not utilize it for this big boycott. All the tech sites, boing boing, they're all talking about it. I'm reading through, I'm going, oh my God.
And
I agree with them totally.
I see their point, but I do so little with my songs that are on iTunes that it doesn't affect me. Apple's is pretty unintrusive.
Yep.
But if I wanted to, I know that I could go on the net and within 5 minutes have some method of stripping any DRM out of whatever I need it stripped out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but it's definitely, you know, the more content owners hobble things with DRM, the more they shoot themselves in the foot.
I agree. Are you listening, Microsoft?
It's not Microsoft.
Well,
they're enabling.
They're enablers. They're the abused wife that allows the husband to beat them.
All right, that's a little much. So I'm sure that you were following all of the Borat stuff last week.
I don't know. I followed some of it. Why? Is there something new? What new? What did I miss? Oh, you mean the Kazakh president thing?
The stuff he did that day. Okay, so basically, Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, Sasha Baron Cohen. That's his real name.
Sasha Baron Cohen. Sorry, I'm brain farting. So the president of Kazakhstan was in Washington, D.C. last week for just general purpose meetings.
Meet the president. And part of the reason is because they are a kind of important little country, mostly because they have a certain amount of oil wealth or the ability to have
pipelines.
Pipelines run through their country. So the president does want to meet them.
So Sacha Baron Cohen chooses this time to hold a press conference outside the Kazakhstan embassy in Washington, D.C., going on and on about how there are lies being spread by the dirty nitwit Uzbeks from Uzbekistan.
Uzbeks.
And then he's going to invite Premier George Walter Bush to the screening of his movie and then the after party at Hooters. And then he goes to the White House and leaves the invitation there.
Apparently, the Secret Service was not hugely pleased with turned into a...
It was a huge... I mean, there were literally 30 journalists following around with cameras and recorders.
And it must have killed the Kazakh president because he's got like 3 and Borat has got 30.
So, you know, and then the other meta story about this is the actual reaction of Kazakhstan taking out a 4-page full-color 4-page ad in both the New York Times and... There was another international paper, like the Herald, I don't know what it was, at the cost of something like $400,000.
And they're probably going, God, who knew this damn little movie is going to be so profitable to us?
And so some people are wondering, is it actually just a publicity stunt to drum up publicity because it's working?
Near as I can tell, the guy's legitimately pissed and they're legitimately kind of ignorant as to how to play this. That's what near as I can tell, that's what's going on.
And God, I heard a story about how it's the ad cost $400,000 probably, and the average GDP or the average the average person makes like $7,000 a year there.
I wonder how much the third best prostitute makes.
Fourth best prostitute, all of Kazakhstan. Anyway, so in the context of that last week, a bunch of people were posting links to Borat stuff.
I do love Borat.
Like YouTube. So there's like a deleted scene from the movie where he goes to the doctor talking about, where'd you get herpes? I got it from my sister. Sexy time. Sexy time. But I'm not, not with, mother or anybody else. I'm not sick. and then there's his Q&A from Toronto Film Festival where the film actually broke and he had to get up there and vamp for 10 minutes while they...
Who's in the back? Michael Moore is in the back trying to fix the thing. I've seen pictures of it.
Was he?
Yeah, he happened to be at the festival and he's in the back on the projector. They never got it fixed. Him and some other famous dude. I can't remember who.
So it's just, if it's publicity, it's brilliant. Yeah. If it's the actual country of Kazakhstan, whoa, are they dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a couple people have seen the premiere. I heard this one guy on the radio saw it and he said, he says, it's not even close. It's the funniest movie ever. It's so funny on so many levels. He was trying to describe it. He said, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm telling you, it's the funniest thing you have ever seen. And I'm thinking, I know this guy is going to be right. There's no way this movie... is not going to totally meet my expectations. I build it up so much in my mind and it's just simply going to meet that expectation.
And
it's like a month out, isn't it? It's like in November, isn't it?
Which is depressing. You want to see it now.
He's getting so much publicity.
So there's that. And I'm trying not to build it up in my head. I'm looking forward to it, but God, I don't want to be disappointed.
Hopefully I won't be, but I can't believe I will. At a certain point, if you're just laughing and laughing, but I don't know. Anyway, I truly cannot wait.
All right. So what else is going on? There was a weird story a couple of weeks ago where I saw this on Hollywood Elsewhere. It has sort of come out that Kurt Russell sort of directed. God, was it Tombstone or the other one? Tombstone.
Tombstone? Not George Cosmatos?
I don't even know who George Cosmatos is.
He's the guy who directed Tombstone.
Well,
I think it was George Cosmatos.
Apparently came out in an interview that because there was a new DVD released.
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
And so, Tombstone? Really?
I think so.
God, I got to check that out. I love that movie.
And so in the course, because I guess the director's dead now.
Yeah.
And anyway, so apparently there have been rumors for a long time that the director had really served as sort of a beard.
Yeah.
And that Kurt Russell had actually directed that movie. And there was sort of an agreement that no one would ever sort of bring it up.
The hell wouldn't, why isn't, if he's interested in directing, that's cool. Why isn't he directing anything else?
I don't know, but it's sort of a weird story and the motivations are a little fuzzy to me. Are we still recording?
Yeah,
we're recording. As your dog steps on your keyboard?
Yes.
But it increases my opinion of Kurt Russell. I love Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And this just makes me like him even more that he would sort of want this kept on the down low.
Well, it also might have been a DGA kind of thing too, so.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was part of it, the Directors Guild.
That was such a weird movie because remember that was one of those.
I only saw it once. I barely remember it.
Well, it was one of the movies. It's like, we're doing a Wyatt Earp. We talked about that at the time.
That's how we discussed
it. And it was not the prestige project. And it was announced later and they filmed it in a hurry and it got released sooner. And people were thinking of it sort of like, remember The Abyss was coming out and then they released Leviathan or something ahead of it.
Oh, that's right. There was.
Exactly.
Man.
So this was one of those situations, but Tombstone came out and people go, wow, this is pretty good. And then Wyatt Earp came out. People going, oh my God. Wow. Tombstone was really good in comparison, but I like Tombstone because it was a classic retelling of the myth and Wyatt Earp was something fundamentally different, but it's a good movie. And if Kurt Russell directed it, I think I'm disappointed that he didn't pursue that in other areas because it's a good movie and he clearly showed
us. He just
his
seems
stuff.
Like such a cool guy. He's been in cool movies. I mean, Big Trouble in Little China, one of the best movies ever made.
Yep.
And you listen to some of his commentaries and he's talking about how his you know, his kid plays hockey, so they live part of the year in Vancouver.
Yep.
So his kid can play on a good hockey team.
Yep.
You know, he's been with Goldie Hawn forever.
Yep, 20 years.
I love that, because so many Hollywood relationships are either don't last or they're all about the press. And clearly, if you're going to be with someone for 20 years, it's not a bunch of bull.
Well, he always seems to be having a good time,
yeah,
and not self-effacing. When you listen to, I mean, the used car DVD, he laughs through the whole thing. He just loves that movie, and he's laughing through the whole thing. And I can't remember if he did a commentary track on The Thing, but everyone, especially all those John Carpenter, he's not a star at all in those commentary tracks. He seems like I would venture to say he's like one of my two or three favorite Hollywood guys, just because of his whole career and what he's been in. And he's been in so many of my favorite movies from when I was in high school, that like The Thing and like Big Trouble in Little China and Escape from New York. I mean, these are like, I watched them over and over and over again when I was like 15 to 20. So I just love the guy. I love him. And he's been in a lot of good movies since. And every once in a while, he'll come out and you're in another movie and you go, wow, that was a great movie. What was that movie like 5 years ago? Breakdown or Lockdown or whatever, with him and that creepy dude who was chasing him in the truck and his wife was kidnapped. Where it was like legitimately great. And I'm going, wow, I just didn't even know this movie existed. You know,
I know the movie you're talking about. The guy died.
And that, yeah, and he died right after the make of that movie. It's like the great character.
He was the
actor.
One who played the colonel in A Few Good Men, who killed himself.
And also Kurt Russell's in that Sky High last year. What a great little movie. Did you ever end up seeing that?
Yeah, that was actually that was one of those I borrowed from you.
Yeah.
And I had gotten, was that my first or second? Because I had gotten LASIK.
Yep.
And they dope you up for that so that you're not twitchy while they're lasering your eyes,
yep.
Which is fine. That's a good move.
Yep.
And the thing about the, I don't know what they gave me, but that evening afterwards, you feel fine. You feel tired and you feel a little bit out of it,
yep.
But you don't feel like you're on drugs or anything. You don't feel high, or at least I didn't, but I have almost no memory of anything that happened that night. So, yep. I remember we watched most of it. My wife and I watched most of it. And like a week later, I was like, hey, let's finish watching Sky High. And she's like, really? There was only like 5 minutes left or something. And I'm like, really?
5 minutes.
So apparently I watched it and have almost no memory.
And
then I watched it again later, which is fine. But that's, I now Sky High is.
Well, it's a perfectly realized little movie. It's funny. Our mutual friend Fred had his knee operated on. And we were over and he wanted to watch a movie. So we're watching Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, whichever one of the stupid movies about golf. And it was not a good movie, as any Adam Sandler movie is. They're not, and they're never good. And he's sitting and my buddy's totally doped up. And at one point, dude, we can turn this off. And he goes, no, it's funny. And at that exact minute, he turns into Reagan from The Exorcist and just pukes all over the room. And we're going, dude, we're definitely turned off. No. He's convinced. He's trying to be a gracious host to us, but he was like literally physically sick from being doped up. He unfortunately did remember the whole movie. Anyway, so we digress.
People generally like the golf one. I think that was
the golf one.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, but it
was,
and honestly, isn't that good? But it did have a great set of scenes with Bob Barker. Legitimately funny.
There were some funny bits in that.
Was there? Okay,
where
maybe.
Ben, you know, when the grandmother just gets settled in her new retirement home, and Ben Stiller says, you know, she says, I'm a little tired. And he says, oh, how about a nice warm glass of shut the hell up?
Okay.
And it came so totally out of left field. And you're like, ooh.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being mean to it because I just don't like Adam Sandler stuff. But anyway, I did like the Bob Barker stuff.
Well, the guy
stuff.
Gets up on like the Video Music Awards years ago and says, my name's Adam Sandler. I'm not that good looking. I'm not that good an actor. But people pay a lot of money to see my movies. And I thought, you know what? The guy knows what's up.
Yeah, he knows his deal.
All right.
He does.
That's really about all I had.
Well, we can talk about my new Xbox.
Oh, that's right. I come in. Hey, you have a new screen. A new pull-down
finally
front projector
screen.
Do we want to talk about what happened to your last one?
Well,
as a public service?
Well, I mean, I built in my house here. I built it in so I could have a screen that retracts into the ceiling. So if I don't want to see the thing, it looks kind of built in, and actually works really good. That's one of the beauties of when you build your house, you can account for something like that. But my last one, I'm sitting here on my couch where I'm sitting right now, which is
12 to 14 feet
yeah. away. And I sneezed and didn't realize it, but through the sheer volume, I expectorated some kind of loogie onto my screen with such force that it permanently embedded itself into the screen, which again would be fine, but you can't really clean these screens. And whenever you turn the video projector on, it would be like this shining diamond of light. And it drove me bonkers. I can't handle that. And then my dad was looking to get a video projector. I go, hey dad, why don't we just take my screen over to your place? And cause I'm not using mine for a while. When we're ready, you can buy me a new one. It's an awful thing. But I did tell him, but you know, there's this kind of thing on the screen here, and he goes, oh, no problem. So it worked out for him. It was a little crappy move.
So that's an important public safety notice.
Oh, for me or anybody, don't sneeze anywhere in the direction of your screen, even if you're 12 feet away, because it just flew. So, and now I realize when I sneeze, even when I'm in the general public, I had no idea I had so much force.
So disgusting.
So anyway, so I have the new one, although this new one isn't quite right because it ripples, and that drives me nuts. And you don't notice it, but if a movie pans, you notice it.
Any retractable screen, you're going to have that as a danger.
I'm telling you, the old one didn't do that, though.
It said as a danger. Yeah. It's going to be a likelihood unless you mount the screen to the wall, which a lot of people don't want to do because they have wives that
in the back, I mean, it's got a tensioner and all this other stuff. But anyway, it's not a big deal. But so I also went out and bought an Xbox just kind of on a whim. And you know, it's funny. This is the first console. You know, I love video games and I've spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on video games. But this is the first console system I've had since I had an Atari 2600 in 1978. I have never had a console system. I've played computer games. So, and it's cool because you know, I have the high def system, so I get to play these games in surround sound high def. But I'm telling you, man, the control schemes are throwing me. I got that Saints Row game, which is great, but on a computer, you use a mouse to look around, but here you have to use this right hand button, I think. To me,
that works better because I've never been into computer games, so I'm not conditioned like that.
It's just really throwing me. I'm sure I'll get used to it, but for right now, it's like I spend my time, I'm looking at the sky, I'm looking at the ground,
you can invert the thumbstick.
It's not a matter of inverting, it's just utilizing it, period, is kind of throwing me.
Well, no, but a lot of people have that, where as if you're looking around with the camera, basically, and you push up, a lot of people invert the thumbstick, it ends up helping you a lot.
Yeah.
I know, you're also dealing with not having a mouse, but
it's just using the thumb to scroll around. I find myself, I'm running, but I'm like staring at myself run as opposed to having it automatically. I don't know. Anyway, clearly the game is a great game, but it's kind of throwing me, but it's been fun. It was like, wow, this is like really awesome.
You've had an Xbox for a week. You've got the whole high def set up. I've had an Xbox, no high def set up.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet to play. I have two games because it came with that Project Gotham Racing.
Did you get the Costco?
Yeah, it was like at Costco, and they had like a little pack that had that. And then I went out and bought Saints
Row. I very carefully priced what was the Costco bundle versus what I could get through my friends at the Microsoft store.
Yep.
Ended up being maybe $5 in difference.
Yeah.
Or actually, it was better for me to get the stuff through the store and not Costco. Costco bundles end up not being that great a deal unless you're actually going to use everything in the bundle.
Oh yeah. See, I didn't know. I don't know. I just seem like the price to get.
You automatically assume if it's a Costco and it's a bundle, you're saving a ton. But yeah. I've priced it out because what I do when I'm working on board.
No, I know that's what you do. But I just grabbed what it was. I figured whatever, fine. I'll need it. But so I don't really get everything. So what's the hard drive for?
Saving game status. And
that's
whatnot.
It? Isn't there
you can also, you go onto Xbox Live and you can download demos onto it. Download media and videos and walkthroughs and.
And then what's Xbox Live Silver versus whatever? Because it says it comes with Silver.
Yeah, I don't. Silver, I think, lets you keep track of, because basically you have an ongoing gamer score.
Yeah.
So that if you beat a boss in one game that gives you 25 points, and everybody can see that.
How much is Xbox Live the full thing?
Oh, God, approximately $50 a year.
Okay. Yeah, that seems about right.
And I do that because that's I play against my friends all the time with racing. And
part whatnot. Of the reason I got it was I figured, you know, I honestly, I've been sitting around waiting. I want to get Halo 2 when it comes out with Vista. And there is, I don't even know if my computer will be Vista capable, first of all. And then if I do, then I'd be buying a whole another computer. I figured, well, damn, I can play, even though it's an Xbox game, I can play it on this thing now, today. Why in the hell would I wait?
And it up-reses the graphics a bit versus the original Xbox.
So and then the second thing I was thinking was, you know, they announced Grand Theft Auto 4, not 3, some other thing. This is like a whole nother generation, which is perhaps my favorite game of all time. Of course,
Richard likes to beat up hookers.
It doesn't get released until literally 1 year from about today. It's getting released. They've announced release date. And I thought, which means that their PC release date is about 3 years from today. And I just don't want to wait the game. So I just decided to do it. And it's been fun. You know, it's kind of weird to be as into games as I am, gotten game magazines, but not had a new console since I was like 10 years old. So it's been fun. I like it. Hopefully it won't dominate my life.
My friend Randy told me though, that of the Xbox 360s that have had problems, most of them were stored vertically like you have there.
Great.
I mean, it's the cooler way to store it.
Well, I'm ultimately going to store it horizontally, but I have to figure out, I got to figure out how and where I can store it because of my setup in here. Although I'll tell you, the one thing is it's louder than I thought it would be.
When you're playing the game and the CD the drive is spinning. Well, not even that. It's because if you use it as a DVD player,
yeah,
you don't get the amount of noise you get when you're playing it as a game. And you're right. It's incredibly loud.
Yeah.
But usually you've got the game noise cranked.
Plus I also wanted to get it. And I just realized, you know, at a certain point I am not going to be able to help myself and I'll want high def videos and this thing will have that. What, how much are they? 200?
200 for the HD DVD
so
drive.
I can guarantee you now that I have this, I guarantee you pretty much the day those get released, I'll be buying one.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to, which, you know, considering I was going to try and sit it out until there was a winner or they both cause themselves to.
Well, Blu-ray's clearly such a, I don't know if there is a winner, but Blu-ray's clearly on the losing end so far, I can tell. But I just figured there's enough content out there that if I buy one for $200, there's enough content out there that I'll enjoy it for at least a bit, and maybe there won't be a winner, but I'll have some cool movies. Because watching high def movies on Comcast cable, just turning those on, it's so appreciably better that I figure, screw it, let me go for this. So
Okay. Anyway,
that we're at 1 minute, 1 hour, 2 minutes.
So apparently we're done. No, we're unless you have any new DVDs
No, the only one I got was yet another one where I'm looking to find a DVD and go, oh, great. There's one I paid $10 for, and it turns out there's a special edition version, which was The Great Escape. So I bought The Great Escape on DVD, the special edition. So now, yet again, I have two copies of the same movie. And the only reason is because it advertised itself as having a commentary track featuring the director John Sturges, and I'm going, wow, I didn't realize he was even alive. And I should have realized, no, he wasn't, because he died like in 1995. So it's snippets of interviews with him, but it's still kind of cool. That's it. No others. I'm really desperately trying to slow down with the DVDs,
dude. But then we're gonna have our special show.
We're getting close there. I haven't added up, but we're probably a couple months away. I'm about 980 right now.
Okay. You can't, that number keeps changing. Last time I think it was 990.
I kept forgetting. No, it wasn't 990. I mean, it was like,
you give me a different number each time.
Okay, I'll,
which is fine. You're estimating and I respect that.
Well, but I have an actual count, but yeah, anyway.
We can discuss all of that in our special Richard's DVD episode.
I was telling some of my staff at work, they were talking about movies. They go, yeah, I'm kind of movies. I got some DVDs, and they go,
God.
And I mentioned I had 1,000. She looked at me like as incredulous as you can do. Like, what in the hell are you doing with 1,000?
You should keep some of those little tidbits to yourself.
Hey, I would. She asked, but I was embarrassed to ask. But I mean, even when she asked, but I shouldn't have said anything because she looked at me like I was literally an insane person. And she probably right.
You know, actually, one thing I realized that we paid zero attention to this season.
What's up?
Outdoor movies.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
I completely spaced on looking up the schedule for the Red Hook.
I think I looked up a couple, but no, not. Yeah, I looked up a couple on Fremont, but yeah, it's too bad.
Well, Fremont gets all the press because they've been, I think they've been doing it the longest in the
area.
But Red Hook's
better because it's a park.
Well, it's close.
Yeah.
I'm not going to downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
But whereas, I'm a little bummed.
I wanted to have one in my backyard if I ever got my thing together, my yard put in. Of course, I still didn't get that done. But my house is uniquely suited to have one.
I know,
like that.
But there's something about a whole bunch of people.
I know.
You know, watching The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski, knowing every word as you do.
Oh, man.
As many times I've seen it, my brain does not revolve auditorily because I can't speak them out, and it kills me that I can't, because I know it's coming and I know the visual, but the auditory doesn't come out.
Anyway, it's a bit of a bummer that we kind of missed that season.
Yeah, there's always next year.
Probably.
Or we can move to Southern California.
Or I could jam this pencil in my other eye.
This is true.
Actually, I was going to say, let's briefly touch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So new stuff is cycling out.
Yeah.
Notice how the start of the season is now even more elongated.
I know. Well, it's kind of when you realize for their sake, it's like now because they can do that, they can take a week to promote Heroes. And then next week it's Friday Night Lights. And happened to NBC? All of a sudden NBC really is putting out really good shows.
Fox started a while ago. They had Simpsons, Family Guy, House.
Yeah.
Because they get those in, and then baseball postseason starts, and it's going to be like another month before you see anything new.
Yep.
There's been three episodes of Studio 60. I haven't seen the third.
It's pretty good.
I
can guarantee you what we were talking about a while ago, and we were saying we're going to look back on this season and go, what did we like about it? Because it's so much better now. You can see snippets of that, but it's just a great show with great people finding their voice.
I really enjoyed the second one. Yeah. I thought it was very well done. I was delighted to see that one of the carryover writers in show is the bald guy.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember his name, but Aaron Sorkin has used him in the West Wing as a political consultant.
He was also in It's About Nothing show or whatever with Jennifer Grey.
I liked that show.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't really watch a few of them.
It got good reviews and it didn't stick out.
I thought it was pretty well written.
I love the concept of having Jennifer Grey as a character in a show where nobody could remember who she was because they couldn't figure out who she was because she had gotten a nose job. She was playing herself, but Jennifer Grey famously got a nose job and she looked way better and you didn't recognize her as the girl from Dirty Dancing. So, but yeah, it was good. He was good in it. I like him and he's good in this show because they're sort of winding him up to be the kind of, you know,
and the show you were just talking about, well, I cannot remember the name.
It's got a weird name, like It's About Nothing show. That's like the title of the show or something.
It's in that vein, but it's not quite like, he was a rich guy who was very laid back. Yep. He was like the buddy whose house everybody was staying at.
Yeah.
In West Wing, he played sort of an antagonistic, irritating political consultant.
Yeah.
And in this show, he's clearly playing, at least in the second episode, because again, I haven't seen the third one. He's somewhat antagonistic and irritating again.
Yep.
You know, sort of a foil for Matt Perry and Bradley Whitford.
Yep.
And it clearly one of Sorkin's people that he likes to write for, or people that a friend of his that he likes to involve
his go-to
somehow.
People.
And you have to wonder how long before, oh God, what's his real name? Jeremy from Sports Night.
Oh,
Joshua Molina.
Yeah, Joshua Molina. You wonder when he's going to turn up.
Because he's been in Sports Night, and he's been in, you know, Felicity Huffman, who had a cameo in the first episode of Studio 60. She did one episode of West Wing.
I want him to bring back, what's the other chick in Sports Night?
Calm down a little. Cause
she's a nerd's hottie.
She was never in
West Wing, though, so.
I don't think so.
They need to drag her.
But, you know, it's clear that Sorkin gets these people that he likes.
And they like him. And it's like Mammoth, you know, they find people that like the rhythm and they can do it. So,
which is interesting because I think Felicity Huffman was in Mammoth plays on Broadway.
Yep.
When Aaron Sorkin found her.
Because Felicity Huffman, you know, she's married to Bill Macy, who's a super Mammoth guy. You know, what's weird about watching West Wing last night. They had a running gag. It's not giving anything away about the power going out at the studio off and on, and then they're connecting it to possibly religious stuff because one of the characters is a Christian, right. But she's nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, but the thing about that, whether the power was on or off, that show is so overly dramatically lit. So many of the scenes are so friggin' dark in there. And I understand what he's going for. I mean, West Wing did a lot of that, but this is overboard. And I've been to TV studios and stations, and I don't care what it is in any TV studio and anything like that, the lighting, and maybe it would be different in this case, but the lighting is uniformly incredibly bright everywhere in people's offices and everywhere. And here they're walking through everywhere, and it's like they're walking through caves. And for a bit there last night, I was going, oh, that's right, because the lights are off. And then I realized, no, they actually solved that problem. This is the standard lighting for the show. It was a little bit driving me nuts, but maybe I'll get used to it.
I don't know. I've been... Certain stage areas have been dark or ill-lit, so yeah. That I've been in.
Well, maybe I'm making too much of it, but it seems a little overboard. It kind of reminded me a bit of when the first season of Law and Order came out, and they introduced the shaky cam to show realism. And it got to a point where it looked like the camera operator had like cerebral palsy or Tourette syndrome, and they finally slowed it down a little bit, and I'm wondering if here they might do it. But I don't know. Maybe I'll just get used to it.
Well, God, I remember we have one of our local news affiliates, the Fox affiliate.
Oh, the walking cameras.
They've been trying to be edgy and new and yep. in your face action news since they've started having a news show. And I remember I was working for one of my professors at college and who had done a lot of atmospheric environmental research. And so they had somehow a study had been released, or I can't remember if a paper that he had worked on had come out. Something to do with basically pollution from China coming over here.
Which professor?
Jaffe.
Oh, Jaffe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was basically sort of just assisting him doing some grunt work.
Okay.
And the Q13 sent out a reporter to interview him. And, the cameraman sets up a light, puts a red gel in front of it. And then he's pretty much holding the camera at an angle.
Yes.
And I'm just looking at that going, ugh.
An attempt to make it visually interesting.
Oh, and it was so... I think they've pared it back a little now, but that was... And something else I just thought of, somewhat just reminiscent of lighting. My wife has some friends that work in the unions in Seattle that like set up shows, mm-hmm. concerts, and all the infrastructure for that sort of thing. And Microsoft had their company meeting last week or the week before at Safeco Field, where the Mariners play. And the guy who, I don't know what specific job he was doing, says, normally when you're on a show, you're setting something up. It's always the first rule is always safety first, safety first, safety first. This one, the first rule was don't step on the grass. Nice. That's hysterical because they set the stage up on the infield. And
that's famous for Safeco.
That is hysterical.
They built that stadium. The only way they could get it passed is they could claim it's a multi-purpose stadium. And the Mariners hate the idea that anything else would be there, but that was part of the deal. So they had like WrestleMania. They're having the Rolling Stones play there.
No, they're not. Rolling Stones are playing at Quest Field.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Quest Field. But it was WrestleMania was there, and then they had some other concerts there. And the degree they have to go over there to protect the field. I mean, when I was there at WrestleMania, it was because I went to WrestleMania. It was on my birthday, but it was as if I felt like I was on an elevated platform held up by air or something. Cause not even the things we were walking on was disturbing the grass down below.
Well, that's, I completely defend them though.
I agree. I agree.
It's critical to have good quality grass. If for no
other
reason.
And it's as good as they get at Safeco Field. It's as good as they get.
You know, that's part of their product.
Yep.
Is, you know, that way the ball bounces consistently. There's no weird divots so that the ball does a weird bounce. There's all sorts of reasons for doing that. So I have no problem with them going to great lengths to protect the grass there. Yeah. But it's just funny to me that that's like rule number one when they were setting something up there.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
God, Battlestar Galactica starts on Friday. Oh. I'm stoked. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I was going to sit down and iTunes the whole thing and so I could get up, and I never did. I mean, but you can get the whole season on DVD, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I might just do that.
They're spendy, though. They're not bargain sets.
Oh, really?
They're like $40 or $35.
Well, I mean, at Costco. If they're like, if I get it for $30, I might get it. But then, I don't know. You know, the other day I was at Costco, and they had the My Name is Earl season DVD and The Office. And The Office was a little bit of a challenge because I bought the whole damn thing on iTunes to watch it. And then I simply didn't buy it. And My Name is Earl, I looked at it and I just didn't buy it. So yeah. Maybe there is a limit to what I will do. I never thought I'd find it, but apparently there's a limit. I've decided as much as I liked that show the five times I saw it, and everybody loves it, I'm not bringing that into my life.
Okay.
That's me.
And in terms of TV, that's probably about all I've got. I'm not watching Heroes. It's sort of aimed at me because I'm a comic book reading. It's
totally aimed at you, man. Sci-fi it's sort of like but, what was the Shyamalan movie, second one,
Unbreakable.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Unbreakable thing.
And if it lasts, fine. Maybe I'll go back and pick it up. But I feel like I've got enough. I'm trying not to pick up new TV shows.
Well, I've seen the last 10 minutes of the last two episodes only because I simply didn't want to miss any of Studio 60. And, you know, every once in a while they'll do that. Let's start the show 3 minutes early.
Drives me bonkers.
I hate that. So I simply didn't want to miss it. So there I am finding Heroes. It was well produced. It's one of those things where they're clearly also building on the Lost thing, where they're introducing all these characters over a very long time. They're going back into their backgrounds. So it's kind of like long-term thing. It looked like a good show. I don't have the time to watch it. Screw it.
Yeah,
and it's not really my kind of show.
I think Lost is back this week.
Yeah, you're getting excited about that, huh?
Hell yeah. So that's sort of where I'm at with TV.
Well, for me, I was watching. I did sit down and watch the entire last season of The Wire on video on demand on HBO. And now The Wire is on.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of press lately about
it. Well, it's just, I mean, you're watching this show, you're going, God dang it. It's as good as a TV show has ever been. West Wing, all these others. But it's literally, I think it's the best show in the history of TV. That said, it's killing me because, man, did I like watching it all over a 2-day period. And now I'm like constantly checking, is the new one up on video on demand? Is the new one up? And not seeing it and going, God, I can't get rid of HBO until I watch this whole season. And it's killing me, but it's such a good show, man. I just wish they would price everything out to say, okay, you can get all this, but if you're really addicted, if you really want it, we'll give it to you all right now. If you pay three
DVD
times.
Or?
No, I don't have any of them on DVD.
Well, then I guess I can't borrow them.
If I ever see it, I'll do it, but it's get it to you. But it's so different and incredibly good and well acted. And
so my last brilliant thing that I will say before we end,
what's up?
What's killing me? They're suddenly a squadron of trucks moved in a couple of blocks away from my house.
Yeah.
And I'm almost positive they're installing fiber.
Oh, really?
Because Verizon is installing Fios fiber. I don't know what their acronym is for, but it's basically fiber.
I don't know. I hope they're getting it down here, man.
Well, no, because they're rolling it out in Redmond, Bothell, Kirkland, and one or two other suburbs. But I live, so the city line is between me and where they're installing it. And it's killing me because you can get phone service, you can get internet, you can get video all through fiber. And Verizon's pricing has been very competitive. And it's really high speed. It's really good stuff. And it's killing me that it's going in so close and that I almost positive won't get it.
It's amazing how we're literally like 10 years behind like Korea when it comes to that stuff.
You hear that. On the other hand, Korea, geographically speaking, it's a lot easier to wire up that country than it is to wire up this one. But yeah, it is frustrating that we're so far behind.
I know my house is prepared. I have 12 ports throughout my house, and every one of them's got a fiber cable going right to them.
Just in time for wireless technology to catch up to it.
No, wired. I mean, if they get like super fast, I mean, if they get the WiMAX route, that's cool. All I know is I'm ready for whatever.
Yeah, I want to go to the trucks and go, here's $10, string it to that house, which is, you know, funny because it would cost.
We did that one when in my neighborhood, our neighborhood in my dad's house was built in 1975. All underground wiring, because that was the cool thing to do. It was built just when underground wiring was cool, but just before cable TV came in. So it was an entire neighborhood, complete no ability to have cable TV. So it was around 1980, they had it in the street behind us, and it was literally a mile away, but there was like one long driveway. And my dad talked to the cable company and talked to the people behind us, and they said, yeah, sure, you can string it up back here. So they strung it up on all their power poles and then strung it over our back fences. So our next door neighbor and us had cable, and they didn't get the rest of the neighborhood strung up till 1991. So we had cable TV for 10 years before anybody else in our neighborhood. Can you imagine in 91 not having even access to cable? And the only reason they did it was because our neighbor had threatened to sue the cable company and say, hey, you have a, your job is to provide cable to all these places. They had to go through the whole neighborhood and chunk up all the roads because there was no, there was no poles to put on. But anyway, so I remember the day we got cable, and I remember The Shining was on. And first of all, freaking out, and then going, oh my God, that chick's naked. Because there's like this scene with this naked chick. It blew me away. And I like, and I'm like looking around going, is anybody else seeing me look at this naked person on TV? And I'm turning the volume down. I was like, I couldn't believe I'd ever seen anything like that. It was unbelievable.
Well, my understanding is Verizon doesn't have the license to actually sell the cable through the fiber yet. They're not licensed to be a TV provider in this state yet.
But when they are able to, they just hit a button.
That's going to be the way to go until WiMAX makes it feasible.
WiMAX or that other one they're talking about that's like a gigabit
ultra
a second.
Wideband. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, this is officially the longest podcast. Yeah. Even though we had nothing to start with, we've stretched out into 1 hour and 21
ramble,
minutes.
Ramble. Okay.
Well, that was a good night.
Thank you to those who submitted email questions. Mm-hmm.
What's that email address again?
You guys rock at mustardayonnaise.com.
And that's about it.
Yeah, I'm Matt.
And I am Richard.
And we both thank you for listening.